Well, good morning, church. It's great to see all of you here this morning. We invite you to open your Bibles this morning to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, as we begin this new series entitled Words. And you're going to find out that you are a powerful person because you have words. And I've been studying this week the use of words. And you know that the old study, because a lot of people have disproved it now, that women use 30,000 words and men use, we'll just say, less than that. And so I don't know whether you're using 30,000 or 20,000 or 13,000. You have powerful words, and we're going to look at that in James chapter 3 this morning. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. We've been friends for over 40 years this week on Tuesday. And he's always kind of on my mind, my heart. We grew up together, and so we were talking on the phone, and he called me. And just having a good conversation, and very positive conversation, and he began to talk about some things that were going on. I was talking about things that were going on. And to be honest with you, it was kind of a serious conversation. And, you know, he's always on my heart, and I always tell him, man, you're always on my heart because I know some of what you go through. He's a very influential, very recognizable person. And I was talking to him about, hey, I know you can't go anywhere and hide. You can't go anywhere and not be recognized. And so we're kind of talking about that and just all the things that are going on and very, very serious topics. And right in the middle of the conversation, he says this. He says, Jeffrey. Now, there are two people who have walked on this planet who call me Jeffrey. One is Miss Ann Kelly. She lived to be 99. She was my neighbor, and she's in heaven now. And the other one is this friend of mine. And so he says, Jeffrey, just out of the blue, I believe in you. Jeffrey, I believe in you. Now, a lot of people say a lot of things to me, and this week has been no different. But for some reason, and I don't know what it is, and I even told Joel, I don't know what it is. I haven't been able to get that out of my head. Jeffrey, I believe in you. And so as I've kind of processed that, and he didn't know I was talking about this today, and I didn't expect that to come, but even though we kind of speak very positively and try to be encouraging, what I realize is it's been in my head and I can't get it out of my head, and I don't know if I want to get it out of my head, right? Is that words are powerful. Words spoken to us, spoken about us, or spoken over us. And words remind us that you, every one of you in this room, you cannot avoid this, that you are a powerful person because of words. I don't know about your position. I don't know about your recognition, your prestige. All of that makes my friend a very powerful person in this world from the world's viewpoint, but he's a powerful person because he has words. Just like you and just like me. That's not news to you, and that's not news to our world, but sometimes we forget that. In Proverbs 18, thousands of years ago, the writer of Proverbs says this. He says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Powerful. You know, and I know, that words destroy. There are words that destroy people's lives, and we live in a culture today that you don't even have to tell them face to face. You can just tweet it, text it, email it, or post it. And you can ruin somebody's life. Happens every day. It can shape. It shapes our marriages. It shapes your childhood. It shapes your home. It shapes where you're going to go to work tomorrow. It shapes your school. Words. Words give confidence. There are people who are all around you that have no confidence that you can give confidence to by your words. There are some very confident people in the room today that you can take all of their confidence away by your words. When you begin to read in Scripture, it tells us that words have the ability to direct where you're going. Words have the ability to destroy what you have. Words have the ability, they will display who you are. For out of the overflow of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. If you haven't been to a Little League ballpark, that point is made on a regular basis. Right? You've been there. And so with that concept, and I don't know if you think of yourself that way. But what I want to convince you of today, if nothing else, is that you are a very powerful person because you have words. Whether you speak them, tweet them, text them, email them, post them, you are a powerful person. And the only issue today is, what are you going to do with them? But I know, and God knows, that we weren't going to buy that. Because we live in this culture, it's like, your words are powerful, and you think your words are not. And so I'm just speaking my mind, and I'm just saying what I want to say, and nobody cares. It doesn't matter what I say. I'm just saying whatever comes to my mind, and we just know that for a fact. Right? If it comes to your mind, it comes out of your head, your mouth. We wish you would stop that. But what I want to tell you is, you're a powerful person today. And the writer, James, who, the brother of Jesus, he knew a little bit about this. And so he writes to us in James chapter 3, and he begins to tell us about the power that you have, the power that I have. And if you've got your Bible there, I want us to just kind of begin to read it together. He says in verse 1, he says, not many of you should become teachers. And that was an encouraging fact this week. I came that close, not including that verse. Just including, just go start with verse 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Amen. And we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And so now you've got this thing that he's going to tell us how powerful our words are, and then he's also telling us at the same point, we got a problem, because you know you can't keep this thing in check. And so then he begins to tell it to all the people, and so, because you're one of those people, I mean, aren't you? You're thinking, yeah, it doesn't really matter what I say. Nobody's paying attention to anything I say. You don't even try to use your words to influence other people. And so then he begins this series of verses. Verse 3, he talks about a horse and a bit, and he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Like, what are you talking about? You got any horse people? I love horses, man. I love horses. And I know this, you probably look at me and go, you've never even seen a horse, Jeff, much less been on one. I mean, horse riders don't wear shirts like that. And so I know what you're thinking. But as a child, I did. I rode horses, and my grandfather, the neighbors had horses, and so we would get on horses and ride them. And I'm telling you, then and even today, if you sit on a horse, you're sitting there going, man, this thing is massive. And there's a little intimidation, and that's not good because they know you're intimidated. But there's also that little arrogance you'd have going, and I got you because I got that thing in your mouth. And so he just throws out the horse and the bit out there. And then he goes on to verse 4 and he changes subjects again. He says, or take ships as an example. If you're not a horse person, take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. You know, they had a hard time maybe envisioning this to some degree because they didn't have ships the same size we do, but the largest things that they typically saw were ships. Many of their ships were larger than their buildings, just like our day. You ever been on an aircraft carrier? I mean, it's a city that floats. But I don't care if it's an aircraft carrier or there's some boat on Smith Lake this morning. All controlled by a very, very small piece. So what is he talking about? He's talking about horses. He's talking about ships. He's simply making the point that is very obvious. There's a small part with big influence. He's not talking about rudders. He's not talking about bits in the mouths of horses. He's talking about your tongue and your words. And he goes on from there, and he says in verse 5, if you didn't like horses and you don't like ships, how about fire? He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And they didn't have TV in their day. They couldn't watch the news and see what was going on in California, you know, earlier this year and last year. And all of it started from a spark. I was in Gatlinburg a few months ago, and I hadn't been in Gatlinburg in about 15 years. But you know, 3 years ago, Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge had a terrible fire that two teenagers started from just a small light. And I don't know if you've been there in the last few years, but I'm telling you, it burned that place up. It burned down or damaged 2,500 structures. It killed 14 people. And it all started with just a small spark with two teenagers on a mountaintop. They didn't have all these visions that we had. They might have seen some brush fires, but they got the concept, and you get the concept that all of that, he says, that's your words. That's your tongue. He goes on in verse 6, he says, the tongue also. He says, I've given you animals, and I've given you ships, and I've given you forest fires. He says, the tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. I think everybody in here, if I could say, hey, tell me your story of when your mouth got you in trouble. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be, there'd be some good stories in here about something you did, and it got, and you know what happened? It got all of you in trouble. Like when your teenager or your child talks back to you, you don't put their mouth in timeout, do you? You put their whole body in timeout. Tomorrow morning, all of you who are in the Hoover City school system, if you go and get your phone out, you may, you know what I'm talking about. You get your phone out and you explain to the administration of the Hoover City school system how dumb that policy is, and I'm not saying it is, so don't go tell anybody that. And you begin to tell them, they're not going to put your phone in the principal's office. They're going to put your whole body there because your mouth said some things. You see, you've never divorced anybody's mouth. You divorce all of them. And when you lost your job, your boss didn't come to you and go, listen, I'm going to ask your mouth not to come back tomorrow. What do you say? You don't need to come back tomorrow. That's what he's talking about. He says this thing, this tongue, is a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course, the whole course of one's life on fire. In other words, those who say, listen, I'm just saying what I want to say and doing what I want to do, and I'm just getting my opinion out there. No, buddy, it's bringing your whole self with you. And if your whole self is married, guess what? It's bringing me with you. If you got kids, it's bringing your kids with you. If you got a job, it's bringing your job with you. And he says, if you're not careful, he says, look, he said, it'll set the whole thing in trouble. That's something. You think about that. And he goes on, he goes to verse 7. He goes back to animals. He said, I don't know if y'all got this or not. Let me go back to animals. He's simply trying to make small things, big influence, lots of potential for trouble and good. He says all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so he says, listen, there's all kind of animals being tamed. And now listen, he's not talking about the whole animal kingdom has been tamed. He's talking about that there are animals that have been domesticated. We don't sit here today and go, I'm worried about all the elephants getting together and taking over the planet. We don't worry about that. Right? We don't all go, listen, I'm afraid that all cats will unite. And so he says, now he says, that doesn't mean, and this is, not everything's domesticated. I love, you know, and this is bad. This is really bad. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We're talking about words. You read those articles in the papers like man eaten by tiger. And you're thinking, well, he must have been out in the outback of Africa. And no, he had it in his den. And so, you know, he's like, he got it as a baby offline and online and eBay. And someone's like, I thought it'd be a great. And then it ate him. And because that's what's going to happen. But we don't have to worry about them all getting together and taking over the planet. So he simply says that all the animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures, they've been domesticated. They've kind of, we've got things under control to a certain degree, but not the tongue. He said, brother, you think it's bad with the tigers. You ought to see your tongue. I've had a snake problem this year. Anybody else had a snake problem in Hoover? Well, that makes me feel good. Hundreds of people. And no, we don't have any snakes. You're like my neighbors. I mean, snakes are trying to take over my house. I mean, I hate snakes. I'm about to move. If I'm here, I'm not here next week, I've moved to a non-state or non-snake state. I've had it. I'm out. Man, I've killed between 10 and 15. I got a problem. And some of them have been in the garage and closer than that. Most of them have been on the front porch. Now, I don't need you to get all spiritual about, well, that's Satan. And I know how this works. I know. It's like, well, Jeff, we don't have a problem. I don't know. Maybe that's a spiritual thing and God is trying. I've thought that whole thing because I went, you know, when it started happening earlier this spring, you know, I killed 3 in 4 days. I went to my neighbors and I said, listen, we got a snake problem. And y'all got a kid running around in the backyard, a toddler, and I'm just telling you. They go, we've never seen one. So I went to my other neighbors who are from another country, and I'm trying to communicate to them, we got a snake problem. And they got stuff in the backyard. They're always, I said, you better be careful. And no snake. Now, I may move, but I'm not in fear that they're going to take over the world or even take over the city. He says, everything has been domesticated. It's been tamed. It's been controlled. Everything but your tongue. You see, standing up here today with this little microphone on my cheek, I could end my career as a pastor. I could say some things in the next few minutes that next Sunday when you come back, the personnel team leader would be here on the stage going, if you were here last week, you heard Jeff, and Jeff is no longer with us. He says he's sorry, but he won't be back. That's the power of the tongue. He says it's a restless evil. It's a fire. Now listen, of the 30,000 words or 13,000 or 20,000 that you're going to speak today, do you see them as that powerful? I mean, the things that you said to your kids this week, the things that you said to your spouse, the things that you said at work, the things you say at school, the things that you even said today, do you get up in the morning and go, whoo, this is going to have a big impact? He goes on in verse 9, he says that the tongue, listen to this, is miraculous. It's able to do something that nothing in nature can do. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. Man, we've had fun doing that. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And we all know that's true. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And then he kind of goes, hey, y'all, listen up. He says, brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. And then he illustrates it. You want to know how miraculous your tongue is? You know, the tongue's ugly. Nobody ever looks at your tongue and goes, that's a good-looking tongue. Let me see that thing one more time. My name might talk about your hair. You got great facial features, and you got nice skin, and you're beautiful. Let me see that tongue one more time. It's ugly. He says, but it's miraculous. So how? He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can that happen? No. He says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. But a tongue can praise God and curse man. It's miraculous. There is nothing in all of nature like that ugly piece of skin in your mouth. It's miraculous. Now, the 30,000 words or so that you're going to speak today, do you think it's miraculous? Do you think it's that way? That's what he keeps on telling us. And here's the interesting part of this whole passage. He says that your tongue is miraculous. And then that's all he says. He just moves on to the next subject. So he tells us that this small thing in our mouth is powerful. It can direct, it can destroy, it can build up, it can burn down, it shapes the direction of our life. It's evil. It's miraculous. It does something that nothing in nature can do. It can praise God and then curse man. And then he just quits. The end. No answer for, now this is what you got to do. So what do you do? Because you're going to use it today. And you're going to use it a lot. And if you're not careful, you'll destroy. If you're not careful, you'll shape things like you don't want them shaped. If you're not careful, you'll destroy instead of build up someone's confidence. You'll burn some things down. Because I'm telling you, everybody in here, as part of their testimony, can go, hey, tell me about a relationship you burned. I bet you a good portion of them would be, well, I said, and I shouldn't have said that. There are a lot of marriages. There's a lot of relationships with kids. All because of what we've said. So, do you realize how powerful you are? So what do you do? You know, Jeff, I'm scared to even say anything. I know. So what do you do? First thing is this. I just want to give you this as we walk out this morning. Is remember. Remember that what you say is powerful. Your tongue is small, but it directs, it destroys, and it shapes. Those things you speak to people, about people, and over people. Remember that. Don't care. I don't care what your position. I don't care your title. I don't care what prestige you think or you don't have. I'm telling you, it's the same. And here's the challenge. When you remember that, don't repeat what you've experienced. Because there's some people in today's, in this building, there's some people watching online. What you're doing in your life is you're repeating what you experienced as a child. You lived with a father or a grandfather or a mother. I mean, you got a testimony. You know what it is to be burned by somebody's words. You know what it is to be destroyed. And you didn't even mean to do it, but you're repeating the cycle. And the thing that you want to do today is to remember that and go, no. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we're not going to repeat. Stop making excuses. You say, well, that's the way my family talked to me. That's the way people talk to me at work, or that's the way people talk to me at school. I hear that every week because I'm on campuses. Well, Jeff, that's just the way people talk on campus. Don't buy that lie. Remember and simply go, I know I'm powerful, and I'm not going to repeat the mistakes people have made with me, and I'm not going to repeat the things that I hear that I know are wrong. Second thing is this. Is pause. Pause. Don't post it. Don't tweet it. Don't text it. Don't say it. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this. My dear brothers and sisters, this is before we ever got to the third chapter and just warned us. He says, way to get started. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's a lot of times I've burned myself because I've responded when I shouldn't. And there's a lot of times that I've saved myself because I said, I'm going to save that draft. I'm not going to send it just yet. Pause. Pause. While you're pausing, third thing you can do is think. This acronym, I love this acronym for think. Didn't there used to be a commercial that says count to 10? Maybe there wasn't. I used to think people always go, just count to 10 before you say anything. Maybe that's just my mother. Is it true? What I'm about to post, what I'm about to text, what I'm about to comment on, what I'm about to tweet? What I'm about to say? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You realize if we were to think and apply, you realize how the world, the social media world, would become calm? You realize how your school would change if all the thousands of students that are in your high school and in your grade schools, they just for a moment, you said they ain't had a thought in the last 4 years, but if everybody would just think. At your workplace. I mean, in your marriage, if you'll just pause and think. Matter of fact, rewind, because you can't rewind words. All you can do is pause. Boy, I wish I had a rewind button, don't you? But you can't rewind, so you can pause. But just think for a moment, when you said that thing that you said, you said, oh, I should have never said that. I wish I hadn't said that. Just think if you had paused and you would say, I'm going to think. You begin to ask yourself these questions. What chance would it have been that you would have said that? Almost none. You'd still have your other job. You'd have had your first marriage. Your kids would still talk to you. You'd still be friends with. You wouldn't have lost your testimony, your witness with that person. They'd still want your kid on their ball team instead of somebody else's team. Think. Remember. Pause. Think. And then finally this. Surrender. Psalmist put it this way in Psalm 141. He says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Now next week, we're going to talk about what you can do with your words. You can change your home, you can change your community, you can change your school, you can change this church. But this week, I just want you to start each day by saying, Lord, guard my lips. I put all my words before you. Help me to pause. Help me to remember. Help me to think. To see what happens. And as you do that next week, as we come together, we're going to see how, as a collective body and as individuals, we can change people and things by our words.